The Apostles' Creed teaches us that the Holy Christian Church is a communion of saints. It's the body of Christ, a collection of baptized believers marked by the gospel being rightly preached and the sacraments rightly administered. The church is the bride of the bridegroom Jesus, a flock of believers protected, defended, and saved by the Good Shepherd. God's church is not a club of limited access. It's not just for white people of Germanic origins, nor is it only for the rich and the influential. There are no membership dues, entrance exams, background checks, nor status requirements to be a part of God's church. She is not for the prideful, the arrogant, the conceited, and the proud. The church is pure, and she is sanctified because Jesus has made her that way. Jesus has made her without spot, without blemish, and the church, my friends, is for sinners. Let me repeat. The church is for sinners, hence the reason we just sung. Jesus sinners doth receive. Jesus receives sinners. And when a sinner is received and made a part of that communion of saints, that means that sinner is forgiven, free from sin's condemnation, purified and cleansed. Stanza 5 captures it well. Oh, how blessed it is to know, were as scarlet my transgression, it shall be as white as snow. By thy blood and bitter passion for these words, I now believe Jesus sinners doth receive. Scarlet transgressions turn white as snow when the Holy Spirit calls one into the church. We confess this, friends, every time we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. But lest this become meaningless to you, I want to highlight the importance of being in this communion of saints. Being in God's communion of saints only means that one is a Christian. That means they believe in and confess Jesus. It means you have faith, a living, active faith by which one is forgiven and free to serve God and neighbor. Glorious as this is, the church is not without peril. Faith means affliction, quite simply because our faith gets afflicted. Having the Holy Spirit that comes by way of hearing God's word means fighting with flesh that wants to drag you into areas that you shouldn't go. And so coming to church is of great benefit to you. Being here on Sunday mornings is of great benefit to you because when you come here, Christian, God gives you something. And frankly, it's something we all need. When you come here, you encounter God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You may not feel it, but he is there. Why? Because he has promised. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. And so you have that promise, Christian, when you come here and gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is here, and he has promised to nourish you, to strengthen you. He tells you to repent and receive what I give. Coming here, receiving these gifts, they affect you, both here, right now, and for the life to come. Faith, friends, grabs hold of God's absolution and his mercy. Faith grabs hold of Christ, and that means the forgiveness of sins. That is a present reality. It is something you have now. In the book of Romans, we have that glorious passage where the apostle says, we have been justified by faith. You are justified by faith. God declares you righteous. You know why he says that? He says it to you not because you haven't done anything wrong. Your record of sin is there, but he says that. God declares you righteous for the sake of Jesus. because it is Jesus who takes all of your sins, all of your scarlet transgressions, and he takes them to the cross, and he sheds his blood to pay for every single one of your sins. And when faith grabs hold of Christ, you grab hold of the righteousness and innocence of Jesus, and so God looks down upon you, and your sins are not held against you, because the advocate Jesus has taken care of them. And by having God's absolution, his forgiveness right now, that makes you an heir to his everlasting kingdom. The resurrection of the body, eternal life. You think there are times in your life when you don't need to hear this? Do you think work, another person, money, sleep is more important than hearing the voice of your Savior? We're quick to answer, of course not, Pastor. First commandment, right? The confirmands learned that this last week. You shall have no other gods. Fear, love, and trust in God above all things. That means all of your love, all of your devotion is to flow to God alone. We confess this. We memorize it. But our confession and reality don't always match up. In other words, what we confess, what we hold to be true, is not always manifesting itself in our words and in our deeds. Sinful flesh fights with faith. And it tries to drag us from the things that really matter. And so we wander. We stray. We leave the good shepherd and the flock in search of greener pastures and better food. The church is the gathering place of God's flock, the communion of baptized believers, and we gather here to hear his word, to receive his body and his blood, nourishment that all of our dying bodies need, but we go astray. We tumble into the pits of pride and self-conceit. We pardon ourselves from gathering with other Christians because there are more important things like sleep, entertainment, money, work. We conjure up excuses when Christians ask us for help. I'm sorry, I'm busy. Code for the communion of saints can wait. There's always work to be done in God's church, but the harvest remains plentiful and the laborers are few. The self-centered and lazy care little about obligation, duty, and commitment. And upon all of us, friends, distractions reign, causing us to turn our backs and flee from the good shepherd and his flock. We wander. We go astray. The gospel becomes a worn-out phrase. The law loses its edge and we get lost. We lose our shepherd. And this is not God's fault. Remember the promise that I uttered earlier. God's promise. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. God promises where to be found and he promises what to give you. And yet, out of our sin, we say, no thanks, perhaps another time. Bibles become dusty, devotions cease, and we stray and become on the verge of losing sight of Christ and the flock altogether. This is a hard message. I know. But I bring it up because Jesus warns us about all of this. He tells a parable about 100 sheep. And one gets lost, it wanders away. And notice, friends, the sheep doesn't find its way back to the flock on its own. He is lost, alone, defenseless, and as good as dead, if not for the good shepherd, who leaves 99 behind to go out and save his lost creature. Now, he is telling this parable in front of a crowd, right? So often when Jesus is teaching, it's in front of a crowd. And this crowd is comprised of the usual suspects, sinners and the Pharisees. And the Pharisees are uttering their usual complaints. Ah, that man, he's associating himself with filthy sinners. And so this parable, it gets to the heart of that attitude of human pride and self-righteousness. The sheep is found. And the kingdom of heaven rejoices over one sinner who repents, not over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Now we can figure this out. And we know who those are. This parable is an attack on the Pharisees, those who thought they needed no repentance, that they were righteous on their own. They could keep the law of Moses and they could do it. But this parable, friends, is also an admonition for us. It's a warning for us to avoid the pitfalls of pride and self-conceit. And so if you think that you are a factory of righteousness, that you can produce from your heart all which God requires to save you, then you have no need for Christ, and you have no need for his church. Jesus sinners doth receive. Keep that in mind. Friends, the good news, Jesus comes for sinners. He comes not for the prideful, the self-righteous, the arrogant, those who need no repentance, but he comes for those hungering and thirsting for righteousness. He comes for the weary, the burdened. Jesus sinners doth receive. Despite our discontent, our proclivity to wander, Jesus goes after the lost sheep. He leaves the 99 and he ventures out to find his confused, wandering creature. He finds the beast and he puts him on his shoulders and carries him to his house. This is what Christ has done for you. The sinner in all of us wants to abandon it all, flee the flock, wander from the shepherd. That's what sin does. Blinds us, compels us to run from God, to flee from his mercy and grace. It causes us to rebel, to be enemies, and all along Christ is there, friends. Christ is there chasing you, grabbing you, holding you, turning you, putting you on his shoulders, and carrying you across the rugged terrain into his sanctuary. And so it is Jesus who makes you a part of this communion of saints. It is Christ who calls you and brings you into his fold, into his church. And he has done that by laying down his life. You see, God doesn't just sit back and watch you wallow in your filth and in your sin, waiting for you to stumble into the jaws of death. Jesus doesn't sit glued on his throne, expecting you to claw and scratch your way to his feet. He doesn't sit back and say, make the decision. He chases you. He goes after you. He came to seek and to save, and that is what he does. He goes to you, chasing you down, speaking into your ears his word, his gospel, and planting faith into your heart, saying, cling to me and receive all that I give you. So today, dear sinner, receive all which Christ gives you. God's undying mercy, his love, his passion for you, his desire for you to be his child can be seen in no better place than in the beaten, battered, bloody body of Jesus. You want to know what Christ goes through to chase you down and to make you his beloved, forgiven, redeemed child? A Roman scourging, ridicule, mockery, a crown of thorns ripping into the brow, nails piercing flesh as they sink into wood. He is then hoisted up as a spectacle before the world to see. People walk by, wagging their heads, bidding the Son of God to come down from the cross. If you are the Son of God, save yourself, they say. But he doesn't come down. He stays, he bleeds, and he dies until the very end. And friends, he does that for you. He does that to pay for all of your sins, to utter, it is finished. And by this sacrificial act of love, your sins have been put away. Scarlet as they may be, by the blood of Jesus, they are as white as snow. You are purified and forgiven by being in this communion saints, we look at the cross and we see the author of life loving you so much, he was willing to die for you. All of this is yours this day. Receiving God's word that promises you forgiveness and life everlasting. You receive the Christ when you take into your hands and into your mouths his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. By these things, God has made you a part of his church, the communion of saints. And let us pray that he keeps you into this church, that he keeps us preserved and protected, redeemed by his blood. Let us pray that he keeps us in his church unto life everlasting, a church, a communion of saints that God promises will endure forever. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen. Go in his peace.